Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to The Marketing Menu with me, Liz, and Nikki. Hello, everybody. And as promised, we're delighted to welcome Mark Gracie here today to today's podcast. And he's going to talk to us all about GDPR, which is General Data Protection Regulation. Now, I suspect a lot of listeners have heard about this now, and certainly in the new year, I'm sure we're going to hear an awful lot more. So, Mark, hello. Would you like to tell listeners who you are and how you got into the world of data compliance?
Yes. Hello. So my name is Mark Gracie. I run a business called Flavorfy Digital. I help businesses look at their data protection, their marketing compliance, and their data security. Data protection is something that I've been involved in from the days of when the 1998 Act became law in the UK.
Wow. So I guess the first question is, what is GDPR?
Okay, so GDPR is a new piece of European legislation that will apply to the UK despite us leaving maybe in the next couple of years.
Brexit.
It updates the law relating to the management of data, and that's personal data that helps you identify an individual.
Okay, so why was it brought in? Was it felt that, you know, more strict guidelines are actually required and needed?
There's essentially two reasons why it was brought in. One was to bring it up to speed with the changes in particularly digital and services that we're all used to today. It didn't exist in 1995 when the last piece of European legislation in this area came about. Past legislation has been implemented in different ways across Europe, and that meant that the guy in Germany would know what would happen to his data in Germany, but that might be different if it was being processed in France or England, right. For example. The GDPR is a blanket coverage for the whole of Europe, so therefore the guy in Germany will now know that his data will be treated with the same responsibilities in UK, France or wherever.
Wow, okay. So we've got a lot of listeners who are running their own business. How will it particularly affect small business?
Well, unfortunately, data protection applies to all businesses, so it doesn't matter if you're a one-man band or a global corporate, data protection rules still apply.
So, Mark, can you explain how the GDPR is actually going to affect marketing practices in particular? I'm thinking here that there may have been a little bit of confusion over, say, people going to a networking event, collecting somebody's business card, then adding them to, their MailChimp account and sending them an email. I think a lot of people are worried that, you know, a lot of their business is going to be, their marketing of their business is actually going to be dead in the water after this. So is there a bit of confusion? I think, you know, that just needs a bit of clarification and sort of an understanding from a GDPR perspective.
Yes, there is a lot of confusion here, and that's okay. Partly because there are other regulations that apply. So one of the key things that's changing that a lot of people are really focused on is the rules around collecting consent for the purposes of processing, and that's very important if you're collecting prospect data for marketing purposes. But in a world of marketing compliance, it's partly about data protection and protecting that data that you're managing. But it's also about privacy regulations, which control how you use that data in an electronic marketing perspective.
Okay.
So your guys who are collecting data from business cards at an event and then adding it to their MailChimp mailing list aren't probably as impacted as a lot of people might think,
right.
Because the privacy rules actually allow you to do that. It's only if you're dealing with consumers or, unfortunately, in the business world, sole traders who are treated as consumers where you would need to get consent. But a limited business handing you a business card, you can market to them.
Okay.
You just need to provide an opt-out.
Right. So just to be clear, Mark, GDPR doesn't necessarily relate to what we may call good marketing practice. It's, in essence, there are two separate areas.
Yeah, so good marketing practice, I think, probably covers a wide range. You have the data protection rules, particularly if you require consent. And you have the privacy rules, which dictate how you can process or manage that data for the purposes of electronic marketing. And then you've got other kinds of best practice around whether people will expect you to be communicating with them and whether they'd be a bit annoyed if you did. But from a legal point of view, it's a mix of data protection and a mix of privacy.
Okay. So perhaps this is a good time to remind listeners that they're listening to the Marketing Menu podcast, which is brought to you for free every fortnight on a Wednesday via iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher and TuneIn. It is also available to download directly from our website at themarketingmenu.com.
Yeah, and do feel free to share with others who you feel may benefit, and also comment, as we'd love to hear what you think, as well as making any suggestions for subjects to cover in future podcasts.
So just to recap then, Mark, in many respects, the marketing element versus GDPR has probably got a little bit confused. So can you just give me an understanding of what the wider concepts of GDPR are, please?
Yeah, sure. So, GDPR has ramifications for marketing people, but in a general everyday sense, it covers every aspect of management and processing of personal data. So that's data that identifies your customers, your employees, or any other individual. It's not just about consent and marketing. Data protection has much wider ramifications for business. It's about everything that you do with personal data. So if you have data that identifies an individual, be it a client, an employee, or a potential customer, that data is protected by data protection, and therefore GDPR applies. So there's much wider ramifications for businesses than just the marketing aspects, and businesses need to think about the security of their data, how they use that data, and how they also meet the requirements of the rights of the individuals whose data it is. And the big key thing about GDPR is it's about accountability. Can you, as a business, demonstrate your compliance?
Okay. So you've got some top tips for listeners, haven't you, in relation to marketing?
Yes. So in a general data protection sense, I would say that if you can identify somebody within your business who can take responsibility and ownership of data protection compliance, that person can then perhaps look at your business and what data you have in your business and how it needs to be changed, or your processes might need to be changed to meet that data protection compliance. Document everything, because that meets the accountability principle of being able to demonstrate your compliance. Train and educate your staff so that they understand how they can help you be or help your business be compliant. And finally, keep an eye on everything that's changing. There's a lot going on in terms of data protection, but also in a marketing world, we're expecting a new privacy regulation that will perhaps change some of the rules around electronic marketing or have a wider scope. And from a marketing point of view, have a look at what data you have. Does it need to change? Are you impacted by the changes in consent? And then also look at what those consent changes need to be and how you implement that on the data that you've already got, as well as how you go forward collecting it.
Wow. So a life of one. I'm a lot clearer now on that, Mark. So thank you. And I'm sure our listeners are too. Just to point out, is it necessary almost know the answer to this question. I'm answering my own question. But it is necessary for businesses to register with the ICO as well, isn't it? Which I think a lot of people don't do.
Yes. So there is a requirement. And even in GDPR terms going forward, in a GDPR world, there will be a requirement to be registered if you are processing data, and that's essentially a registration that declares the purposes by which you process data.
Yeah.
And that registration fee is actually the thing that funds the regulator, the ICO.
Yeah, and I think it's about £35 a year at the moment.
They're talking that whole funding mechanism might change, right. So it might go up.
Okay,
can we just clarify what ICO stands for?
Yeah, so ICO is the Information Commissioner's Office. The Information Commissioner is responsible for upholding data-related regulation, and that's primarily data protection, the privacy regulations, and also freedom of information.
Thank you. So are there any other websites or information that you can direct our listeners to, Mark? Obviously, there's your own website, Flavorfy Digital, that's all lowercase, all one word, .co.uk, where people can find out more about digital compliance. And you're very active on the speaker circuit, aren't you?
Yes, I do quite a lot of talks to groups and business owners and business groups, but I also run a number of webinars myself, and through the Digital Compliance Hub, which is digitalcompliancehub.co.uk, you can find out about some free webinars. Some of them are paid, but you can get access to talks to understand some of the intricacies of data protection in general. If you're looking for a resource, as well as my Digital Compliance Hub service, the Information Commissioner's Office's website is also a good resource, ico.org.uk, They have a wealth of information. Obviously, it comes from a regulator's point of view rather than somebody helping businesses specifically. But they've got a great support mechanism in place, and then they've just recently launched a small business helpline as well.
Yeah, I checked that out the other day, actually, at the weekend. They had a 12-point check sheet for you to go through and things of that nature and various downloads. So it's very useful. So do pop over there. So listeners, I'm sure that you'll agree that that was a very fascinating chat. Thank you very much, Mark. It's important perhaps that we mention that we do put a transcript of this podcast on our website. If people wish to download that, that will be available on themarketingmenu.com. Now, listeners, we're taking a little break for Christmas, and we're going to be back on Wednesday, the 3rd of January, kicking off the new year in great style. Liz, what are we going to be talking about?
Videos, Nikki.
Oh, OK. We talked about this a little in a previous Q&A podcast, didn't we?
We did indeed, and we thought listeners might like us to go into more details about how using videos can really boost the marketing message.
And we'll have our very own special contributor too, our own audiologist, Andrew Plant, will be joining us. So he'll be able to give us the lowdown on the technical side of making videos.
So until then, we wish you a very happy Christmas, listeners, and thank you for your support during 2017. It's been a thrilling year for us with the launch of the Marketing Menu, and we're looking forward to some great new opportunities in 2018.
And just as importantly, we look forward to helping you, listeners, create a successful business in 2018 too. So it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.